Welcome to Manager Tools. This week, a special treat. Because Mike and I are retiring this year on September 23rd, coming up quite shortly, we have agreed that one of the things that's going to happen over the course of the next few years is we're going to have Kate and Sarah re-record some of the core podcasts and make them available with different voices and different stories and so on. And this will be the first cast. It's a Hall of Fame cast. This will be the first cast that we will do that with. It's called The Three Levels of Presentation Mastery. And we've basically crammed at a very high level about 30 years of knowledge, about how to present effectively. And you'll be hearing Kate and Sarah record it rather than Mike and I. So here we go, The Three Levels of Presentation Mastery.
Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, The Three Levels of Presentation Mastery. The questions this cast answers are, how can I become a good presenter? What are the components of effective presenters? And how does Manager Tools train its presenters?
Don't not come to the AMP conference because you're not an executive. Come to the AMP conference to expand your network upward. Come to the AMP conference to learn how executives think. Managers are welcome. In fact, the M stands for manager. The AMP conference, October 27th and 28th, more than just a conference. It's such a good time for us to be recording this cast because we are currently in the process of onboarding, of training a new presenter here at Manager Tools. So all of this stuff is really fresh in the brain. And for our audience members, there's people out there who are wanting to get and are going to be promoted at some point in time, which means there are other people, people that we know, who are going to have to become good presenters as well. To become an executive, you have to be a very good presenter. And we're going to talk about it, but guys, it's not that hard. And based on what we see, nobody knows the rules. So we're here to talk about them.
Yeah. We're going to cover the three levels. Level one, content mastery. Level two, personal mastery. And level three, audience mastery. And so we start with level one, which is content mastery. You know, one of the classic gaffes made by far too many trainers is saying, give me overnight to study it and I can train anything.
Ew.
That is completely wrong.
And arrogant. It's arrogant.
Yeah.
To suggest your presentation skills will carry you through with any content provided to you.
I would be loath to be handed a topic the night before. No. This do not assume that you can do this overnight. Avoid this scenario. And honestly, too, if you have an internal corporate training situation, it could probably be vastly improved by people having more time with the content.
I would agree.
Let's, you know, not schedule these things with the assumption that, oh, I'll get you the slides right before. Because there's a misplaced overconfidence here. And it's based on a widely held and totally false belief.
Mm-hmm. Which we're going to talk about.
Yeah. That all it takes to be a great presenter is to know the content. Mm-hmm. Which, okay, so then you're thinking, well, how is that false? First of all, questions will be asked about that thing, which requires second-level knowledge.
Facilitation of conversation. I mean, if all you're capable of doing is saying the words.
All you need is a teleprompter.
I mean, the origins of the content, the
people are
why.
Gonna ask.
Yeah, like the why of the content, that is what really proves for a presenter the difference between knowing the content and having mastered the content. Mm-hmm. If you don't know why, if you don't know the origins, where the content comes from, the purpose of it, why it's so important, if you don't already know what the frequently asked questions are and how to answer them, no serious student will respect what you're presenting. And if people don't respect your presentation, your delivery, your knowledge, They're definitely not going to respect what you're presenting to them, right? They're not going to respect the content or the ideas or the information, because it'll be clear to them that even you don't know a whole ton about them.
Well, and I think it would be silly to assume that the students would respect the presenter either, because it's not just the content. They would not respect the content. In that case, they would also not respect the person presenting it.
Yeah.
When we present, we talk about one-on-ones, and I say, we're going to talk about the behaviors associated with one-on-ones very deeply.
Yeah.
And we don't want to confuse the behavior, the behavioral parameters, with the underlying rationale. And that's a thing that I think most trainers aren't invested in. Is, yeah,
agreed.
Saying, hey, here are the things that you do, and here are why you do those things. Like the purpose. And part of that, I mean, for us, it's because we share the underlying rationale so people can make adjustments based on their situation.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not necessary for all content. I can think of some content where the adjustments.
Yeah, it's binary. It's
right
or wrong. It's
yeah. Or there's not going to be adjustments because you're just presenting it. You're not teaching it so much, training. But an arrogant or clueless trainer might say to this, well, not all the students involved are serious. And you would be right.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you have to insult your audience to make your point, perhaps that's not a good path. And also, what about those students who are serious?
Right.
Because I think of them. I think of the people we get. We have people who come to training and they have a style of asking questions that seems a bit combative.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. And
high D's, we're talking to you.
Yeah.
You seem a bit combative.
And a person who's a different profile or in the mm-hmm. room or not a presenter might think, oh gosh, that combative question person doesn't agree or blah, blah. But y'all, that's not always the case. And sometimes those are the most serious students. And I mean, I know, you know, this is going to be a little incendiary. The idea of teach to the middle,
yeah.
While I'm not against the premise,
mm-hmm.
isn't always going to help. It's not going to help your lowest students. And it's not going to
help your highest students.
Right. And I really genuinely feel that a person who comes in who's not a serious student, you know, the thing is, they're not going to take away a lot from this anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe I focus on helping those people who do have.
Oh, absolutely.
Real questions.
Real concerns. Real questions. Exactly. They really want to know.
Yes.
About the information. You're absolutely right.
Right.
You're absolutely right. So here you have it, folks. To start your journey on the way to being a truly great presenter, you must first master the content you're presenting. Not just know it, not just be familiar with it, not just have reviewed it a couple of times. You must master the content. Not mm-hmm. just know what you have to say, but also why what you're saying is so, and the history of what you're saying, and the strengths and the weaknesses of what you're saying, so that you can, to Kate's point, not teach to the middle, not change your style, weaken your style is what I'm going to say, not weaken your style in a way that takes away from the truly serious students.
Mm-hmm. If you've never presented it before.
Yeah, that happens.
It totally does. Yeah, you get asked to do it. Okay. If you have never presented it before, please go through the content, create your own first edition of frequently asked questions. What questions do you have about the content? Because that's an amateur mistake, y'all, to have questions about the content yourself and not expect the audience to have them.
Right? They're going to have them.
Yeah. So make a list and get answers to those questions, because those are the questions that they're going to ask as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be ridiculous to assume that this will go well if you have a list of questions and you don't have the answers to those questions. And so
you don't even know them. So nonsensical.
Yeah. And you might think to yourself, it'll be fine. Here's the thing. You get up there, you have a question like, well, I don't really understand this part of the content. Somebody in the audience asks it, are you going to feel good? Or are you going to immediately break out into sweat and panic because you don't know and you knew you didn't know before you got there and then somebody asked it and you...
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question. Actually, I'm curious as well. Let me get back to you on it. So the it's a terrible response.
I hate it. Okay, so make your own frequently asked questions list.
Yeah.
If you've never presented the material, you must rehearse.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Now, people are saying at this point in time, they're like, okay, Kate, so I got this presentation, never presented it before. You want me to sit down? You want me to create frequently asked questions list? And now you want me to rehearse it? And yo, I don't have time for that. And I get it. We get it. I mean, it's happened. Presenters get given things to present all the time with short notice. That's fine. And we understand. And you're going to be presenting as a novice to your first 10 audiences with that content. Because you'll not have mastered it. Right? You'll
sure.
not have considered all those questions. And some of those questions may never have occurred to you. And you've not, I know this is a weird way to say it, but you've not rolled the words around in your mouth enough times to understand.
To know what order to say them in.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
And you say them, you're like, oof, no, that wasn't really great. Let me try it again.
We've had multiple discussions like that where on presenter calls where we talk about, you said it this way, it's clunky.
Mm-hmm.
Try this series of words. And there is an elegant,
yes.
Sometimes we find this absolutely elegant
mm-hmm.
series of
That's
words.
That's the best way of saying it. Exactly.
And we share it with each other. We have the benefit of shared minds in this
we do.
Case. Y'all, though, you don't have that necessarily.
Right. Exactly. You're right. So you might be presenting it. I mean, you might be presenting content that you're not overly familiar with. And your first 10 audiences are going to see you as a fully novice presenter. And I mean, let's face it, all you have to be willing to do is sacrifice the first 10 audiences on the altar of your busy schedule with no time to prepare. And you'll stop doing it once you realize true mastery of the content. It ain't about you. It's about them. It's about your audience. How dare you rehearse the content to your audience? They deserve more respect than that.
Also, let's think about that. You're saying, okay, the first 10 audiences, they're going
to
suffer.
I don't have time to prepare. So they're going to have to deal with this.
And is that really the right answer that, okay, my calendar being tight right now is a bigger consideration than all the 10 audience? Like, okay, maybe there's only 5 people. So 50 people have to suffer because you weren't willing to carve out some hours.
Yeah, some hours to review it.
I don't assume that a lot of people listening are going to present the way we do, which is hours and hours and hours. What's an EMC? 8 hours.
8 hours.
I'm imagining most people listening aren't going to have to present for 8 hours, which means you
I would
only
imagine.
Have to carve mm-hmm. out 2 or 3 hours for this to rehearse.
Yeah.
And we know that, y'all. So how do then, okay, from our perspective, the way we train our presenters, because we get a lot of comments on how good our presenters are, and we're always happy to hear that.
Obviously, love it.
Specifically, Sarah and I are very happy to hear it.
Yep.
The compliments prove that our grueling training.
Grueling. Yeah, works. That's an understatement.
And it's really, okay, it's only grueling if you're not a tough person. If you're tough, which you have to be a presenter here, it's totally doable. We've said before, we don't need candidates to be good presenters when we hire them, even though it's our most visible an important role.
Yeah. Independently traveling, making relationships with our customers, delivering our content, which we all know is incredibly important. And we can trust that we have the capacity, we have the skills to take someone who's not a good presenter and make them one. And it's because of our training process.
Yeah.
Which is really simple. I mean, we spend a lot of time and focus on it. It's really simple and revealing. And as we mentioned earlier, I mentioned that being now July of 2022, it just so happens we've hired a new presenter.
Welcome, Amanda.
And welcome, Amanda. chances are, given our growth and all the transitions in the organization, we might be hiring another one in short order, which means that the training program is something that is in the back of our minds as we speak. So here's what we do to assure our content mastery. That is, each new presenter is required to go through a thorough training process to make them competent on our core product, which is the effective manager training, right? We've got the other trainings. We've got effective communicator, effective hiring manager. EMC is where we start. It's the biggest nut to crack. And because it is our, I'm going to call it flagship product, you can't present on your own to an empty audience until you've finished the training process and presented in front of either Kate or myself a full day of training and have been granted by us the stamp of approval, granted full presenter status.
Which sometimes just means that midway through the second day, which is ECC, we leave. I was abandoned.
I'm gonna go?
Yeah. I was in, I don't know where, I was in Dallas, I think. And Danny was with us at the time.
I was in Dallas too.
Yeah?
Oh. Weird.
Yeah.
That must be the place where stars are made.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I love it. Yeah. Danny just came up to me and said, hey, I've changed my flight and I'm leaving. And
I know.
Immediately fully panicked because it's really scary to be trusted with that. Okay, so those
kind
that's
of a
the,
big deal.
That's a big deal. The core of the training that gets you to being abandoned in Dallas is incredibly
I love it.
Is incredibly simple and massively demanding.
Yeah.
Every day that you are not traveling to present during your training, your first job responsibility is to present the EMC content to an iPad or a computer, which is recording you for a full hour every single day that you're not traveling or presenting.
It's
go.
The weekend.
Well, yeah, okay.
Or it's the weekend also. We're not that grueling.
Or if you're on vacation, okay, fine.
Yeah. Fine.
You set up a device like an iPad or a laptop or something, and you have something there with the slides visible to you and a remote control for your slides, and you have a clock. And every day for roughly 80 to 100 days, for a full, solid, uninterrupted hour, you're required to present the material.
Yes, the effective manager conference material.
Right. At the end of the hour, you upload the hour's worth of training material to the cloud, and another of our presenters reviews it and provides you feedback. And it's changed a lot since we started because technology has, eight years ago. So that
absolutely.
It was just gotten way easier to do this. Dropbox, all that. Wi-Fi, better Wi-Fi. When I did it, I even had pictures of an audience like taped behind my device so I could practice eye contact.
I love it. I had a little drawing that said smile on it, like it had a smiley face, because I struggled to smile. When you're presenting, I think to your point, to no faces. You're presenting to
a
video
by
of
yourself.
It's you're
super
alone.
Super awkward.
So awkward.
Yeah.
Ask Amanda. It's really weird.
It really is super awkward.
Yeah.
And you know, we say if it's stupid and it works, it ain't stupid.
Yeah.
But I just remember it just being just pure misery. Just the thing I dreaded every day.
Yes, I agree.
The whole time. And actually, it's only once people are probably listening and thinking, well, okay, that sounds terrible. Yes.
Terrible.
Only one time, though, has a presenter failed to accomplish their 1 hour or rehearsal. And Mark said, do that again and I'll fire you. That's how highly we value this.
That is the number one priority for you every day.
I mean, you could do nothing else that day and we would still, we call it eating the frog. We really recommend you do it first thing. Just get it out of the way.
Get it out of the way. And you don't have to be weird about it all day. Because I used to have like a pit. Like that dread feeling. Like, ugh, gross, I still have to record. Just get it out of the way.
Right.
Eat the frog. And to Kate's point, Only one time has a presenter failed to accomplish that 1 hour daily rehearsal. And over the last 30 years, both with first Horseman and Company and now Manager Tools, not a single presenter has failed the training program.
We can get you ready to present 16 hours of content and answer all the questions within 6 months, period.
Period. And it's not hard. I mean, that's what we do. It's not rocket science. It's not magic. And to Kate's point earlier, she said, we often get compliments about how good our presenting staff is. It's not that hard, but nobody but us does it.
Yeah. 1 hour a day rehearsing the material.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to start your journey on presentation mastery, you must first master the content, not know the content. Master.
Exactly.
There's a difference. That's like amateur versus professional. And one way to do that is just record yourself. And if it's, y'all, if it's not an 8 hour presentation, you don't have to do a full hour every day. You could do half an hour. Like,
yeah.
An hour, we do an hour because you have to learn 16 hours of content.
Oh, you're not even including the effective hiring manager, y'all.
Or the ERM.
Yeah, there's a lot of hours. So, yes.
You could do 30 minutes. You could do 15.
You could do 30 minutes. You could probably, exactly, depending on how big your content is, how long you're going to be presenting for, all of that.
And don't tell me you guys don't have 15 minutes because I know you're drinking coffee for 15 minutes. So
exactly. You got time.
Hey, y'all. If you're looking to book private training with us for either effective management, communication, hiring, any of those topics, we'd love to support you. And we're running out of days left in the year where we can do it. We'd love to come on site, send us a note, talk to Maggie. Let us know if you're looking for some training between now and the end of the year, because we would love to see you. And we are running out of days over here, y'all. You can send an email to customerservice@manager-tools, or you can send an email to maggie@manager-tools.com.
The second level is mastering yourself, personal mastery. Once you've mastered the content, it's time to start paying attention to you. Now, you've been thinking about, and rightfully so, on your journey, you've been thinking about the content. Am I presenting it accurately? Is what I'm saying correct? Is it actionable? What is the history of it? How do I answer this really obscure question that might pop up? But all of that thinking has been without thoughts of you and how you're presenting it. Up until now, what you've been thinking about is what to present. And you've been so focused on the what that you've relied on your natural instincts about how to say things, where to stand, where to put your arms in space, what to do with your eyebrows, and whether or not to smile, and is it a good time to wink, and should you be clenching your fists or lifting your hands to the sky? All of the things about where your body is in space and how you look have been relegated to the back burner. Because content.
It's so funny that this assumes that I am capable of winking, which I'm not.
Really?
No, I cannot wink.
I'm not physically
capable.
It was my filler behavior. I never told you that. You know how people have filler words?
Yeah.
For example, people insert the word There was a point in time during my presentations.
No.
Where my filler behavior was winking and I didn't know it. Until an audience member said to me, is there something wrong with your eye? You seem to wink a lot. And I was whoa, I wink? And them saying it made me aware of it. And I realized probably every 5 minutes or so, yes, I would wink at the people in the front row. So strange.
I love you, but that's so awkward.
I know. Oh my gosh, dude. Incredibly awkward. This is the personal mastery part, right? This is the part where you're becoming aware of what your body is doing.
100%. Where your arms are in space,
whether or not you're winking like a weirdo at the front row every couple of minutes. That's that space where you start becoming aware of what your body is doing.
Yeah. And what's interesting about it is part of the reason we have people video themselves is because so you can see it. Those things. And they change, which is probably why you didn't realize you were also.
They evolve over time.
You wouldn't wink at an iPad. So
right, that would be weird. There's no one there. It's just you.
Winking aside, It's not just body language. There's the decision about when to talk fast, slow, loud, soft, where to put your stressors in your words, what word choice to emphasize.
Yeah.
There's a big difference, actually, between I think I can and I think I can. One denotes doubt and the other conveys confidence. Same words, different outcome. Professionals know the difference.
Yeah. And they matter. It matters.
They do. In the same way that, well, we'll leave that aside for later. I was going to think about jokes. But if you've seen me present in the last 2 or 3 years, you know I've come to terms with the fact that I'm not funny. Frankly, though, if you're like most amateur, you don't need to be funny. And if you're an amateur presenter, don't worry that you're not funny, because some of us really good ones aren't funny either. Yeah. If you, though, heard the difference between I think and I think.
Mm-hmm.
If you think to yourself, oh, I've never parsed every word and its emphasis before, don't worry. That's normal.
Yeah.
On the other hand, know that it means you have room for growth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because once you've managed to master the content, it's time to focus on how you say the words.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And where you stand. And
exactly. Yeah. It's time to focus on the how piece, right? As opposed to the what piece. So where you're standing in the room. What behaviors or body language do you use in certain moments to drive home your training message? Do you know how to accept a question? Like, that is, do you know how to catch the medicine ball? There's a podcast for that. Do you know what facial expression must, and we mean must, accompany? You're placing your palms outwards, fingers up towards your audience with arms extended. Do you know what parts of the room you should walk into and which parts you should stay away from? Do you know where to stand when you start your presentation? Do you know where to be standing when you end your presentation? Do you know what you should and should not do when you're starting? Do you know everyone's name in the room, so that when they ask a question of you, you can use their name when responding? Do you know when to stand up? Do you know when to kneel? Do you know when to squat? Do you know the different behaviors that'll change the audience's impression of you from fear to love?
No. Most presenters don't know these things.
Most presenters don't know.
Mm-hmm. Because so many people who are presenting think that the end-all be-all of presenting is really the content, but it's not. And we will continue to share with y'all about mm-hmm. this. And what would be fun is if we had Amanda on some of it, because she's right. just learning.
Or even Andrew, because he's really, really Ugh. Good.
It's so
they
funny
love
that,
him.
You know, Mark's
I
the
say
one.
That.
They, well, they do.
Negativity in my voice, but they do. They love him.
It's just because we're jealous. It's funny because, you know, Mark is the one who said that he had to convince the audience to go from fearing him to loving him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Andrew ever had to worry about the audience fearing him.
Uh-uh.
They have always loved him. I know they fear me more than they love me, but they don't fear me as much as they fear Mark.
Yeah. And I would suggest they fear me more than they fear you.
Yes.
And still not as much as Mark.
Yeah. I remember before Andrew was here and somebody asked Maggie, you know, hey, Kate was pretty direct. I think they mm-hmm. said forceful.
That's and a very nice way of saying that.
Yeah, they said, is there another presenter? And Maggie said, well, Kate's the nice one.
Yeah, she's the nice one.
But now we have Andrew. And
yeah,
he's the nice
and
one.
He's the nicer one.
He's the nice one. Y'all, we're not suggesting that this isn't hard work, high performance work. It is. It absolutely is.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think we've made that pretty obvious. But there's a third level. Okay, so now we're level three, audience mastery. Mm-hmm. The hidden mastery of greatness in presenting lies with the audience. How could it not?
Right. I mean, it's about them. It's the only reason we're presenting. It's about them.
They're grading us. They're the arbiter. The purpose of the presenter is the audience.
Yeah.
It's like tree in the woods. If you don't have an audience, you're not a presenter. You're talking to yourself while you clean
person
the kitchen.
Talking to an iPad.
If you present and no one hears you, you're not presenting. You're winking to an iPad.
You're winking to an iPad.
Wink, wink, iPad.
It's not a presentation. It's just practice.
I have a friend who when I used to work at a place where people went on long missions. So a friend of ours had to like babysit someone's cat, but babysit is a small word because it was like a 6 month cat sit, but it was like a 6 month thing
6 months.
While someone was on site.
Oh, that's not really sitting.
At a launch. Exactly. So she,
you've got a cat for 6 months.
Yeah. So my friend Christy had a cat for 6 months. It wasn't her cat. It was that our other person was going on a mission for the launch. And so you can't take pets to Hawaii because they have to quarantine for a long time.
Oh, dude.
So you can't take them. So the cat stayed with Christy. And, you know, our friend comes back from the launch and Christy said to me that she was worried because she had started to talk to the cat. And she said, I realized when the cat arrived that I talk to myself when I'm in my home.
Yeah.
And now the cat's here. I talked to the cat. But now the cat's going away. I'm just going to go back to talking to myself.
Now I'm aware that I'm talking to myself and it seems strange.
So you could present to your cat, I suppose.
I presented a lot to my cat.
That sounds right.
Because, I mean, it's an audience.
Yeah. I would imagine that Lemonade was better at responding than Coco.
Exactly. And she was an incredible hiring manager. No one ever gave her a chance.
Oh, terrible.
Because I presented the EHM content to her so many times. I mean, seriously, if there was a cat that was capable of making a good hiring decision, it was that cat. She knew it all.
Coco would just like occasionally lift her head up at me like, is it time to go to the couch yet?
Yeah, right.
Okay. So imagine a presenter walking off the stage and telling a colleague, I killed it today. Best I've ever been. And their colleague then goes to mingle with the audience and he hears, it was fine. Good. Yeah, fine. But I have questions. And since he ran over, I didn't ask them.
Yeah. So did the presenter really kill it then?
Nah.
No, the presenter didn't kill it. But if a presenter's not focused on the audience, right? If a presenter doesn't know the audience, if a presenter is still in the content and self-mastery stages, they think they kill it because they're still under that mistaken assumption that how the presenter did, how she feels about what she did, how she knew what she knew, how she felt, what her experience was, is the standard. And the only person that would argue with that is the entire audience. They didn't leave knowing the message, then the message wasn't delivered. This is that communication is what the listener does,
right?
Piece of the equation.
Right.
So the things that you want to be aware of, I mean, and when you get to the audience, the know your audience mastery piece of it is, do you know how the professional in the third row on the end is feeling?
Well, you won't.
You won't. Exactly. You certainly won't know if you're worried about the content or if you behave in front of the group effortlessly.
If you can't behave in front of a group effortlessly.
Right. That's the thing. You
have to think about your body and that stuff.
Right? Exactly. Right.
If you're not paying attention to the audience, you won't know who's been itching to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't know the name of that person who is asking the question.
Right. And you should.
You would if you had mastered levels 1 and 2.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd also know the percentage of the audience who are ready for a break, even though it's a few minutes early. Yeah. Or
do you know what to do when they do need a break? And it's not even time for a break. Right? What if there's 75% of the audience that are itching for a break and it's not that time in your agenda? What do you do?
Yeah.
Do you know? If you don't know who they are, you do nothing.
Yeah. Can you tell which audience members won't ever be satisfied with an answer and when to quit trying to satisfy them and just agree to disagree?
Yeah.
Do you know who would be satisfied with any answer, even if you don't love the answer?
Mm-hmm.
Do you even know how deep into the audience you can walk before you have to retreat?
Mm-hmm.
This is level 3.
This is level 3. It's about them. It ain't about you. Presenting is never about the presenter. It certainly requires them to be part of what's going on. It certainly requires a lot of the presenter to deliver that presentation, but presenting is about the audience. It's about the audience 100% of the time, always, always the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And this level of mastery can only be achieved after the first two levels, mastering content and mastering self, have been mastered. Because until you know your content, until you've mastered it, until you've mastered yourself, you don't even have the mental bandwidth to master the audience,
mm-hmm.
to know what they're saying impacts you, to know how they feel, to have a sense of them, to know all of the information you need to know to ensure your message is being delivered.
Mm-hmm. When you get to this level, others will see you as a master presenter. When you've reached mm-hmm. audience mastery, they'll seek you out with questions. By the way, the answer to all the questions they ask you is rehearse more. You'll be able to adjust your presentation without really thinking about it. You can feel the audience changing.
You absolutely can.
I think he's told the story a few times. He's presenting in New Jersey 5 to 10 years ago, fully in flow. He'd presented the content 1,000 times, enough experience to know his own style. He's focused on the audience completely. The world he's living in has like shrunk to him and the audience only.
He often talks about it like being down a well.
Yeah.
That's the only place his brain is. He thinks of nothing else. He's down a well.
Suddenly, every face in the audience was just like, he was looking at them and they were disconnected from him. He's probably like a quarter way down the aisle in a group of 30 community members. And in that instant, he knows he's lost them all. Their faces are blank. It's not a, like a pupils dilated or contracted thing, but he knew without question he'd lost the audience. He was mm-hmm. astounded and saddened. And
what'd I do?
Yeah.
How like, do what, I get them back?
Right.
What'd I say?
Recover the last point. Because mm-hmm. what you're thinking is, I've said something that makes no sense. And so you're like, okay, how do I figure that out? And as he's presenting, so words are still happening.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to figure out what's going on and thinking, where do they all go? And then the aftershock of the earthquake that they had all felt hit, and he felt the aftershock. He was so focused that he missed the first earthquake. He grew up in LA, so he's been through a lot of earthquakes.
Yeah.
He should have naturally felt it, totally missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Because as Sarah says, he feels like he's down a well. Now, that's the analogy doesn't perfectly work, because if you were in a well, you would definitely feel the earthquake.
Yeah.
But he was in a place of audience mastery, and so felt the audience more than the things that were happening to his physical body, which—
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, and for the record, they did like take them out of the second floor conference room that they were in, and they did the conference in the parking lot for 30 minutes. But y'all, that does happen. Sarah and I have both talked about how at the end of a presenting day, you're fine all day. Everything's cool. Then you sit down. You can't go back to your hotel room and sit down. Like, I'll sit in the hotel lobby, the bar, the restaurant, only to maintain a level of energy, because the second I actually get to a place where I can sit down, my body goes, okay, we're shut down.
I'm over. It's over.
We shut down. It's like a...
Yeah. You can't be in public when that happens.
No.
I'm freezing cold. I'm starving.
Yes.
I'm starving right now. Yeah. And I just need to lay down.
Yeah. We'll often go to dinner in the town mm-hmm. where we are. And if you'd like to, if you're in a town where we're coming to town and you can't make it to the conference and you want to have dinner with us, send a note to customer service. We'll let you know if like who's coming and if they can come to dinner. I will go to dinner and I will wait to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Because the minute I start to feel my body, it will become, mm-hmm. I'll become aware of it. And then my body needs a lot of things and none of them are available in this restaurant.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. So
you're absolutely right.
And that's not what we just described, because I think we've gone to the side a little bit.
But we have, but
not feeling an earthquake.
Yeah.
That's audience mastery.
Exactly. When you don't worry anymore about the content and you have no regard for yourself and your degree of hunger and whether or not you're tired and whether or not you need an urgent care, because it's happened, folks. It's happened.
That's when you're a professional.
Right, exactly. That's when you're professional. And you can sense when you have the audience and when you've lost the audience. It's just a sixth sense, right? It's just a feeling that you have because you're so in tune with them and how they're feeling and what they're thinking and where they are. And when you can do that, that's when you've truly mastered presenting. Content knowledge is the baby step. When you're ready to grow up, you fight for audience mastery.
Becoming a great presenter isn't complex. It's not difficult.
Mm-mm.
It's just more difficult than the amateurs think it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Master your content, master yourself,
mm-hmm.
and then use those to earn success, which lies in the audience. Love them, serve them, and they'll love you back 100 times more.
Yeah, they will.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, everybody. We'll be back next week with a new topic.